So, it's Easter Sunday. It feels so extraordinary, doesn't it, to be celebrating Easter, and yet maybe something's missing for you. Usually Easter is when, as a pastor, how can I put this delicately? I tend to see some folks who I don't get to see as often as some others. And now, I'm sure some of those same people went from getting wrangled to church, which actually makes a lot of sense on a high holy day, to getting wrangled to the TV screen or the computer monitor. Usually by now, Jen would have gotten the girls into their Easter dresses. They would be making their way to church. They would have parked in our new paved parking lot and simply walked across the street to the red doors. Out in front, they would have stopped at the Easter flower cross in the courtyard, just outside the main sanctuary doors, and that's where we would take pictures. Now, I'm sure Larry would have set up a photo booth somewhere in the building as well, maybe in Fellowship Hall. We would have gone over there for some pictures too. We would have been greeted with a lot of hugs, handshakes, and many exclamations of, oh, how beautiful the girls look. What a beautiful family. And afterwards, we probably would go out for our Easter brunch. Oh, how things have changed. But it's still Easter Sunday. Let's just say it, something is missing. But let me also say that to focus on what we are missing right now is to miss the point of Easter entirely. We're not so different from the disciples of Jesus. I mean, just a minute ago we heard the story of Easter, but I stopped short of the juicy parts that follow. See, the women at the empty tomb, they actually go back and they tell Jesus' apostles, his closest followers, there's 11 of them left, they tell them about the empty tomb. And what do they get? Blank stares. Complete, total disbelief. Then we find on the road to Emmaus, there are two followers, and they encounter Jesus, but for a really long time in the conversation, they don't even recognize who it is that they are talking to, because they cannot fathom someone being dead, then being alive. We read in the other Gospels about doubts from Jesus' closest followers. Let's think about doubting Thomas, needing to see the nail holes in Jesus' hands. All of that basically boils down to a whole lot of getting it wrong. So with that in mind, I want to wrap up the Lenten Sermon on the Mount series with this, from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Listen and hear God's word for us. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, this teaching comes at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. It kind of acts to wrap things up, evident by the epilogue, starting at verse 28. The crowds were amazed. There was authority in his teaching. It was different than anything they had ever heard from their own teachers of the law. Ultimately, the entire Sermon on the Mount boils down to this teaching about where we build our foundations, on the rock or on the sand. It's an either you will or you won't sort of situation. Either it will be your wisdom or it will be your folly. That's the choice you have to make, because you can't have it both ways or somewhere in the middle. Now, in this teaching, I want you to put yourself there, imagining these two houses. From the outside, they look really good. Good-looking houses, structurally sound. People are living in them functionally. Life is all right. They can't complain. They gather. They have their meals. They tend to their herds outside. They come back in to get out of the heat of the day. And everything is good. In fact, all summer long, during the dry season, the homes provide shade and shelter and a place for families to gather. And as the seasons change from summer to fall, the home is sound. When the first rains come, they are covered from the storms. However, it's not until the real rains come, the torrential rains in the middle of winter, that these homes are revealed for what they truly are. See, these torrential rains will turn dry valleys into muddy, slippery bogs. And the house that is built on the sandy foundation will simply be washed away. And then it no longer serves a functioning purpose. It's the house that's built on the rocky foundation that will stand. Because even as the winds and the rains come, as the mud slides around the rocky foundation, the rock will not be moved. And so it is with our lives. So it is with our faith. So do you feel like something is missing from your Easter? Or is it just that we're really good at missing the point of Easter? I want to go back to where I began. We are missing a whole lot of things that we prefer, that we like, that we've grown accustomed to over the years, family traditions and the like. But those things are not what define Easter. Now, those things are fun and meaningful, don't get me wrong. But as fun as they might be, as meaningful as they might be, they are worldly concepts. Ultimately, they are like homes built on the sand, easily washed away by a good rain. And if we've seen and learned anything during this virus, it's that everything we tend to cling on to so dearly can easily be washed away. What defines Easter is that Jesus made a promise that he would die for us as an amazing act of sacrifice and love and grace, and that that would not be the end of the story. Because Easter is about life. It's not about complaining that our conventions aren't being met. It's about turning away from those conventions and sinking into the life Jesus has for each one of us. A life that isn't defined by disappointment, chaos, confusion, or fear, but a life defined by love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, light, and peace, and everything else that comes from our Lord Jesus. Now, in order to do that, we have to be willing to give up the old foolish ways. And you're the only one who knows what your old foolish ways are. What are the houses we've built on sand? Where are our foundations flimsy at best? On this Easter, we have to ask those deep questions so that we can be transformed into the wise ones whose lives are built upon the rock and foundation that is Jesus Christ. He is risen. Jesus wins. And because Jesus wins, we win. Let's not forget that today. That is truly what Easter is all about. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for coming into each one of our lives and helping us to identify the places where we have tried to build foundations on sand that can easily be washed away, the places where we have hoped in ourselves and our strength and our things to get us through even the toughest times, and yet we find ourselves unified in the reality that we are helpless by ourselves. But we are helped by you. For you are our strong, solid foundation. Lord, we pray that you would speak into our lives, reveal to us the places in our lives, the places in our hearts and our souls where we are not quite following you like we ought. Help us to give those things up, to give them over to you, and be reestablished upon the rock that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your transforming work in each one of us, for giving us the power of life that defeats sin and death, and that only comes from you. Lord, we take a moment to lift our world up to you. We know there are so many people hurting and living in fear and living in darkness because of this virus. We pray for wisdom across the globe. We pray for healing, physical, but also mental and emotional and spiritual. We pray for the downtrodden who are feeling like they're sinking in the midst of this chaos, and we pray that you would extend a hand to lift them out of it. God, here in our own congregation, we want to lift up a few of our friends. We lift up Bob as he continues to recover. We pray that you would surround Bob and his family with your love and your healing presence this day. We lift up Donnell as he continues to need your healing. We give you thanks for your strength in his life. Lord, we lift up the extended family of Ricky Chaplicky, who went home to the Lord after a long battle with cancer at a far too young age. And we lift up Don, Linda, Marcus, and all others who are grieving this loss. We pray that you would give them a peace that surpasses all understanding. God, we pray that you would be with the church as it's manifest here and throughout the world. God, that you would truly unify our hearts, even though we can't be together. We can be together in you, O Lord, and we give you thanks for that. We thank you for your word that teaches us how to live. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the risen one who taught us when we pray together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have a few things to announce to our congregation. Want to let you know a little bit about what's going on around here. Construction is still moving along. The parking lot is done. The exterior is really coming into shape. Now, this is the week that our church building will be tented, and so we're going to be completely shut down this week. But watch the morning show tomorrow, and you can see everything that's been happening. The church office is closed because of the state shutdown. We're still able to check mail, however, so anything you send in is being picked up. Please be assured of that. We're able to check emails and voicemails, so if you need anything, just call the regular church line and leave a voicemail, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. We do hope you are enjoying our full array of online offerings on the church Facebook page, First Presbyterian Church of Bradenton, which you can like, or on the YouTube page, which is FP Bradenton, all one word, and you can subscribe to that page. We have content uploading daily, so keep checking in. I would also ask our congregation to keep checking in with fellow congregants, see how everyone's doing. If you're not regularly a part of the First Press congregation, but you are watching, check in on your friends, check in on folks who you know. I think we could all use that right now. Everyone needs to be checked in on. I think that really works well to spread the love of Christ amongst his followers and amongst our friends. So let's do that together. And we thank you for continuing to send in your tithes and offerings to the church office by mail. You can also give online on our church website, bradenton.church. There's a give link at the top. This has really been helping us to keep things together and keep things moving along during this difficult time. As we move on from the many things going on in this church, let us now reflect on the love of Christ in each of our lives.